Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 6. And I'm going to move this down here. Joshua chapter number 6. And I appreciate all the singing tonight as our kids are singing. And as we come into our midweek service, tonight is our very first midweek, as Brother Tim already said. And if our kids want to come and sit down front, they can. Parents, that's totally fine if you want them to do that. If you feel like that's something that's okay, they're welcome to sit down front, because we will have them getting involved in the actual message part tonight. But we've done this the last 2 years, and it's been extremely well received at our church. We've got a lot of folks on vacation this week, but you pray for them as they travel. But this has been something that's been very encouraging, not just to our kids, but also to our church family. And we get together and we sing together, and we sing songs that they would sing in Safe House, or maybe that we're familiar with here in our service, our adult services. But we'll sing songs together. The kids will help lead us in worship, and then they'll pray. At the end of the service tonight, we'll take prayer requests that are based on the kids' requests, and then they're involved in the message portion. So the entire service tonight is geared around the kids, and we're worshiping together. So, Pastor, why do we do this? What's the emphasis, the main goal? We want our children to know that they can worship the Lord in any season of life. They don't have to get to be an old person to have a relationship with Jesus. They don't have to graduate high school to know the Lord. They can serve the Lord right now in the season that they're in. So if we do things that are a little unconventional on Wednesday nights in the summer, it's okay. We're still worshiping the Lord together as a church family, and we want your kids to know that it's okay to be a little bit different. It's okay to have fun in church. Amen? And so we're going to do that tonight. We're going to be talking about Jericho the next several weeks. Joshua in the battle of... we know the psalm. We know the story. And from Joshua chapter number 6, we're going to be talking about Jericho and what God told Joshua to do. I'm going to need some help tonight. I'll need three groups of people tonight, whether it's individuals or groups. And that means adults, you guys get to participate as well as with the kids. Jericho, some things about Jericho. Jericho was a very large city. It was the first city on the map that the children of Israel came to as they went into Canaan. It was known for its fortitude. It was known for its walls that surrounded. You guys paying attention over here. Focus in on me, okay? Stay with me. But Jericho was known for its big walls. It was a strong fortress. It had walls that were so thick that you could race a chariot around the top of the walls. It was known for that. So it was a fortified city, but it was also a city that was known for its army. It had a large army. And God even references it with Joshua here in the first few verses of chapter number 6. So this is a big deal. This is not just a little Fishersville of a town, okay? This is a big city with a big and bad reputation. But God tells them in chapter number 1 that he's going to be with them everywhere that they go. And so as we've gone through the book of Joshua and we get to tonight, as we start talking about Jericho, we also realize that no matter what we face in our lives, whether we're young or old or in anywhere in between, God promised that he was going to be with us. And so those are the promises that we hold on to when times get tough. And as long as I make a decision, I'm going to follow him and I'm going to honor him with the decisions I make. He promised that he would take care of me. He promised that he would meet my needs. He promised that he would never leave me. So with that in mind, we have to think about how we prepare for the battles in this life. So let's look at Joshua chapter 6. Let's read just a couple verses, and then we'll jump right in. And if you've got your handout, kids, you've got a handout with a coloring sheet on the back. You can color your paper. You can take notes, but we're going to talk about Joshua for a few minutes, okay? Let's look at verse number 1. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given..." Here we go. "I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." Now let's think about this for a second. God is telling Joshua and all of the people that they were to go around the city one time for six straight days. If you're taking notes, number one in your notes is the promise. The promise. Okay? The promise. Now, the first thing that I'm going to need help with, I'm going to need somebody to play the part of the Lord. Okay? And it's got to be somebody who doesn't mind opening their mouth and speaking really loud. Okay? All right? Desmond, are you going to do this? All right. All right. So you've got to say, all right? You ready? God's got this. Okay? Go.
God's got this.
Okay. All right. Now go sit back down. And when I point to you and I say, the Lord said, good. All right. So super simple. Okay. So we've got a promise. And what is that promise? God said.
God got this.
There you go. All right. Good. We got it. You're going to say it in your sleep by the time we're over tonight. Okay. But the first thing we see is that God speaks to Joshua. In verse number one, he speaks here. In verse number two, excuse me. The Lord speaks to Joshua and kind of starts giving him instructions as how they're going to fight Jericho. But whenever the Lord leads in our life, he speaks to people. He speaks to our heart. But sometimes when God speaks to us, he also speaks to the leaders around us. For kids, you guys are living at home, God speaks to your parents and he tells them how to lead in your life. In the church, God speaks to the pastor. God speaks to leaders in the church. And so we think about all of these different times that God speaks, he's also speaking to leaders. And as long as we live, whether you're a kid or whether you're a grown-up, we will always have to listen to the authority that God has placed in our life. That can be parents, that can be teachers, that can be grown-ups around us, that could be police officers, that could be our boss, amen, adults? That could be our boss one day. We are supposed to submit to the authorities that God has placed in our life. And he tells Joshua in verse number two, I've given you Jericho. God speaks, and he says, there you go. All right, he's got it. All right, and he's telling them that he has already decided what's going to happen. Look back at verse number two again. He says, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. What is he saying? He is telling Joshua,
God's got this.
All right. So he's saying God's got this. But here's the thing. He's telling them he would be with them no matter what. And he says in verse number two, I've already given it to you. I've already given. See how it says, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. Here's the thing. We need to realize this. Did you know that God already has a plan for your life? God already has our life planned out. He knows where we're going to be tomorrow. He knows where we're going to be next year. He knows where we're going to be 10 years from now. God already knows. Why? Because we see this, and that's what makes him the one in control instead of us. But in the hard times of our life, we need to be reminded that nothing sneaks past him, and always remember that God tells us, Desmond, God tells us, God's got this. So no matter what we face, he has this in his hand. Think about Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. We know the verse. We know the premise where God speaks and says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. He tells the people this phrase, this verse. He shares this message with them right when they're getting ready to go into a hard time, right when they're getting ready to go into a hardship. He's promising them, I already know the outcome. I already know what's going to happen. And I am going to be with you. He makes a promise. And these people that God is speaking to through Joshua, he's also telling them, you're getting ready to go through some battles. There's going to be some hard times ahead, but I am going to be with you. And it reminds us that Desmond, God's got this. Hey, church, we're gonna say it 48 times tonight, but God's got this. No matter what we face in this life, God's got this. And it's just our reminder tonight. God didn't just tell them that he had the city. He had already given them the city. In verse 2, it says, I've given you the king and the mighty men. Now, somebody, help me here. Why would it be important that God would give them not just the city, but the king and all the army? Why is that important? Anybody know? Anybody want to guess? All right. Why is that important, grown-ups? Somebody help me. Why is it important that God didn't just give them the city, but he gives them the king and all the army? Ooh. All right. What would happen, Spencer, if somebody came while you were gone tonight to church? They came to your house and they burned it down. And they say, you know what? I don't really like Spencer. I'm just going to take his house. I'm going to burn it down. How would that make you feel? Mad, okay? So if God gave them the city and he let the king and all the army live, you think they'd be mad? You think they'd be mad at God's people? You think they'd be mad at God for letting God's people do that to their city? So why is it important that God said, I'm not only going to give you the city, I'm going to give you the king and the army? He was protecting them from any future threat. He was not just protecting them in the now, he's protecting them in the future. Hey, church, God doesn't just protect us in the now. He protects us in what's ahead. He is already planning, already knows how he's going to protect us tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and throughout the rest of our life. He already has it charted out. He already knows. And we don't have to be afraid because he promised Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. So when we think about God is in control, the first thought, the promise is that Desmond, God's got this, all right? So that's the first thought. Number two, all right, if you're writing notes. Number one, the promise. God says, I'm going to be with you. Number two, here's the next thought. We see the procedure. The procedure, all right? The next verses are verses 3-5. Look at those verses. It says, and ye shall compass the city. That means you're going to surround the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The seven priests shall bear the ark, and before the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. All right, so the first thought is the promise. What was the promise? Desmond, what was the promise? God's got this, all right? The second thing is what Joshua is getting ready to tell the people. Who wants to help me and be Joshua? It could be a guy or girl. Doesn't have to be. Somebody want to help me? You got to have a loud voice, and you got to be willing to holler. Somebody. Aaron, you going to help me? Okay, all right? Your phrase, you're going to be Joshua. Let's get busy. All right, so God tells us, and Joshua is getting ready to say,
let's get busy.
There you go, all right? So not only is God telling us that he's got it, but Joshua is getting ready to say, let's get busy. We're getting ready to get to work. We're getting ready to do what God tells us to do. He's not just told them what to do. He's going to tell them how to do it. It was going to take some work on their part to get this done. Remember, they had to march around the city 1 time for 6 straight days. 1 time, they would march around the city. They'd go home. They'd get up the next day. What would they do? They'd go back and they'd march around again for 6 straight days. Now, think about this. Eva, if you looked outside your house tonight and in the light, just like at your house, maybe in like the street light or something like that, you saw people walking around your house, would that be weird? They don't say anything. They don't do anything. They just walk around your house. Would that be weird? Yeah, exactly. If you saw some people, you'd probably be dialing up somebody. Hey, if you see what they're doing, you make sure that you watch them. They're doing weird stuff. They're not saying anything. They're not doing anything. They're just walking around my house, walking around my property. You'd be calling the law, you know, trying to find out what's going on. All right? But that was what God told them to do. God told them to do something very strange by marching around the city. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just walk. That's all you have to do. Has God ever asked you to do something weird? Has God ever asked you to do something that doesn't make sense? Why would God ask them to do something so crazy as this? Why would God ask them to do something this strange? He does the same thing in our lives as well. He asks us to do things that don't make sense for us to see whether or not we'll trust Him. See, God already knows whether or not we trust Him. He wants us to see whether or not we trust Him. And God will ask us to do odd things and things that at times, why would I quit a good job for a job that doesn't pay as much money but gives me different things? Why would I do that if God tells you we do it? Why would God tell Abraham to take his only son and kill him? That's weird. That's strange. That seems odd. But God wanted to see Abraham's obedience. And he wanted Abraham to see his obedience. Why would God tell Joseph to marry a pregnant girl and Mary? That's weird. But that was God's plan. Why would God tell David to fight a giant? That's weird. That doesn't make sense. Because God wants to see if we trust Him even with the crazy things. Even with the things that don't make sense. But where do we find what God wants us to do? Where can we go, boys and girls? Where can we go to see what God wants us to do with our life? What do we have that we can hold on to and that we can know what God wants us to do? Spencer. Correct. Say it loud.
The Bible.
There you go. The Bible. God has given us His Word. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You think about a light. You know, there's a difference between a big light and a small light. This worked a minute ago. This is going to be a really short illustration if it doesn't work. And it's not going to. Hey! There we go. Nobody move. All right? And think about this. This light does not give off very much. But we know there's a difference in this light and one of those spotlights up there that's shining down. The amount of light that it gives off. You know, in the dark, this will help me get out of this room. But a spotlight will show me what's around me and if somebody's going to jump out and go, boo! Exactly. All right? Somebody will scare me really easy with just this little bit of light. But you know, sometimes we go through life with this much light to guide our path. Now listen, sometimes that's all we need. Because in a dark world that we live in, sometimes this is all we got. But at the same time, when we spend more time in His Word, God illuminates more of our path. There are times when it's really dark and all we got is just this little bitty light. But it tells us that He's supposed to give us enough light. There it goes. All right? That was a good illustration. And now it's over. But God gives us enough light to take one step. He gives us enough light. But we only see the path when we spend time in His Word. And if we hear the voice of God, we know that He is with us. And when He speaks to us, when we're nervous and we're scared, and He tells us, Desmond, good. All right. What's our next response? When He speaks peace to our heart and says, God's got this, then our response is, let's
get busy.
There you go. That is the response of our heart. Hey, God speaks peace to us and reminds us He's there. And then our response should be, let's get busy. If we know that He's with us and we know that He's not going to leave us, then we should be getting busy with what He's leading us to do. So there's a promise. The promise is, Desmond,
God's got this.
Good. The procedure shows us how, and when we know how, we should Let's get to work. Close enough. Let's get busy. Let's get busy. Let's get to work. All right? So the last point tonight, number three, and here's the last one if you're writing notes. Number three is the priests. The priests. We saw the promise. We saw the procedure, the how. We're supposed to get busy. We're supposed to follow him. But then let's look at the priests. Now here's our part, everybody together, okay? Because this was only going to be good if everybody was involved. Now, how would it have looked if Joshua said, let's go march around the city, and everybody stayed home? That would have been weird. Joshua would have had a choice. Well, do I go out and do it all by myself? Or do I do something with everybody else? So Joshua shares with the people. Look at verse number 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Here's the last point. Pay very close attention. Here we go. All right. This is the part where the people had to make a decision. The people had to say, and this is us tonight, everybody together, let's follow him. That's our part. That's where God has spoken and he has told us, Desmond, God has said,
God's got this.
God's got this. Somebody has got to say,
let's get busy.
And then we, as one group, say what? Let's follow him. Amen. It's all connected, church. God speaks, and then we have a leader in all of our hearts. God has given us a leader. It's not the pastor. God has given us King Jesus, who leads our hearts. And he's already reassured us that he's with us. He's already said, hey, let's get busy. Let's get to work. And then we have to decide whether or not we're going to follow him. We have a choice. This ark was a golden box that the priests would hold on their shoulders and they would march. It represented God's presence. Anybody ever play follow the leader when you were a kid? You had to do everything that the leader did. You had to do all those things. This is the material version of that. When the ark moved, they moved. When God spoke, they listened. And there are times in our life when God gives us leaders around us that we are supposed to submit to. And when they move and when they speak to us, as long as it lines up with the word of God, we should obey. We should listen. Think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You have people in your life like that who speak and say, you know what? This is the way that you should go. This is what God's word says. We all need people who tell us, if God said it, we should do it. We all need people in our life for accountability that will show us what God's word says. No matter what we feel, no matter what our heart tells us, just follow your heart. Hey, that's Disney's philosophy. That's not God's philosophy. We follow our heart in real life, we're going to get hurt. God says, follow me. Don't follow you, follow me. But in this story, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We have to have people around us. Can you imagine if Joshua's friends would have said, oh, don't do that. That's dangerous. They're going to throw rocks at you. They're going to make fun of you. But what had God already told him? God had already said, Desmond,
God's got this.
And then Joshua said, and then they got to respond with, let's follow him. Let's follow him. So we ask ourselves, am I following him wherever he may lead? Hey, even if it's weird, even if it seems strange or doesn't make sense, just like it did to them, we're going to walk around the city one day. Hey, I want a tank. I want a gun. I want a rocket launcher. I want something to destroy something or a plane. You know, call in a bomb threat, something. But God said, just follow me. Just do what I'm telling you to do. I wrote this down. Think about it like this. If we spend time with people who spend time following the Lord, it will encourage us to do the same. But if we spend time with people who don't want anything to do with the Lord, it won't be long before we're just like them. If you spend time with people who spend time with the Lord, it will encourage you to do the same. But if we spend time with people who don't want anything to do with the Lord, it won't be long before we're just like them. Hey, church, grown-ups, teenagers, it matters who you spend time with. It matters the company that we keep. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. The people we spend time with affect the direction we go. So when God speaks to us and says, and when somebody godly in our life says,
let's get busy.
What's our response, church? Let's follow him. Follow him. That should be our heart's cry. Let's follow him. Whatever that looks like, wherever it leads us, let's follow him. He is the one who's leading the way, not us. He's the one who's guiding us to follow him, even when it doesn't make sense. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, from young people to old people, Lord, help us to simply follow you wherever you may lead. Help us to be reassured that you've got this. You're in control. Lord, when leaders speak to us and say, let's get busy, Lord, help our heart cry to say, I'm going to follow you. No matter what, even when it doesn't make sense. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to go offline at this time, so thank you guys for tuning in and watching us. And we're going to go to our prayer time this evening.